All right, what's up this time?
Well, I'm going to ask you to hold these darts for me.
Mm, okay.
Okay. I'm going to undo my belt here, pull up my shirt. All right. Take a look at this, Gary.
Ugh.
Yes, you'll notice I have a dartboard tattooed on my chest.
It's so orange.
What?
Your entire chest is like a big orange field.
Underneath
ginger expanse.
I probably should have shaved, but I have a dartboard tattooed upon my chest with many games from which we might play. Now, Gary, this is going to sound bold to you. In fact, it may sound insane. However, I want you to huck one of these darts.
I already hucked it.
Ah, dog, damn it. Ow. It's like Wile E. Coyote.
Why was I doing that?
He doesn't fall until he looks down. Okay, let me pull this out of here. Ah! All right. The blood trickle is coming from Ren and Stimpy Space Cadets.
Look.
Because he has space madness.
Yeah, I'm suffering from dart arm. My darting arm. Oh, my bursitis.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I am Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the show where you pick bad games and we play bad games.
Oh, as you do. Why are you doing this to us? I mean, holy crap.
Yeah, this is pretty rough, Amy.
This is really, really bad. So this is Ren and Stimpy Space Cadets for, the Game Boy. It's our first Game Boy game on this show.
Yeah, I was happy to do a Game Boy.
Yeah.
Game Boy game. It did make me think, like, I know there are good Game Boy games, but it's pretty rough, though.
Well, the screen is 20 by 10.
Yeah, yeah. It is essentially a dot matrix. Like screen, like you could do a dot matrix printer flipbook.
Isn't that like what it is? Like active dot matrix. There was like a little text above the screen that says what it is, and I believe it contains dot matrix.
I think it does too.
Yeah.
I meant like one of those like 3x3 printers where there's no way to differentiate an 8 and a 6, like out from an 8086 computer. But the there aren't that many good Game Boy games.
No.
Like it's one of those systems that like has a huge software library, almost all of which is shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Game Boy, it's a huge success. Like nobody really thinks about it in terms of like a hit to miss ratio, but its hit to miss ratio is one of the worst that Nintendo's ever produced.
Yep. And I think it might be entirely due to third party interests, especially licensed games such as these.
Yeah, exactly. Like everything for Nintendo is pretty good. Like right now, 3DS, you can get every Wario game.
Mm-hmm.
I went and downloaded all those real good.
Yeah.
Been playing Harvest Moon for Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm.
It's still Harvest Moon.
Yep.
However, Ren and Stimpy and Space Cadets, no Harvest Moon. Yeah. You are no Harvest Moon, sir.
You are no Ren and you're growing powdered toast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can sprinkle just things that come from the show into the podcast the way that the game just has things that come from the show in the game that don't inform anything about it.
So before we go on too long, who suggested this? I know you said Amy.
Amy. Yep, Amy Holbrook.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amy Holbrook. Amy. Amy.
Yeah. But this is a real faithful adaptation of the show.
I don't know how you would like faithfully adapt the Ren Stimpy television show. Like innovatively subversive Nickelodeon cartoon that was, really awesome and surreal and
teaching kids about sadism since 1991.
Ren and Stimpy is great.
Yeah, no,
I loved Ren and Stimpy.
I fucking love it. Like I was like right at the right age for it too, and my parents didn't give a shit what I did or what I watched. So
it's so good.
I told you I work with somebody who used to storyboard for them, right?
You told me about that.
Yeah, that was like a really weird fact to have learned. So. it's been interesting talking about what Nickelodeon was like in those days.
Yeah. But yeah, just anything goes. Yeah. But what a golden age for Nickelodeon.
I know, right?
Like, you'd watch Ren and Stimpy, you'd watch Doug, and then like a little later, Rocko's Modern Life came along.
Rocko's Modern Life is really, really good. Like,
Rocko's Modern Life is very good. I like Ren and Stimpy a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Rocko's Modern Life is very good.
Yeah, yeah. Rocko's Modern Life is a little bit more conventional, I think. It's a lot less weird. Yeah. Which is not saying much, but
I mean, that's what gives Ren and Stimpy the edge for me. Also, just age. By the time Rocko's Modern Life came along, I was a little bit older. But one of the hidden things about that era of Nickelodeon was I ended up getting kind of attached because I'd watch it during the summer when I'd stay at my dad's house and just watch TV and watch Nickelodeon all day. Is like I would start watching TV earlier than when it came on, and I would get sucked into like the shows leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Such as Eureka's Castle, Game of the Dome.
Yeah.
And they're not too bad.
Yeah, no, they those were really good. I remember watching those unironically after coming home from half-day kindergarten.
Yeah, yeah. I guess they're good shows for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Ren and Stimpy is wonderful.
Like, what does it say about, like, life in our era of suburban America that, like, we just watched Nick Jr. for fun? Not for fun, mind you, but just because there was nothing else better to do and nobody was around to entertain us.
It said for me that like I was at my, my dad had custody of me for the summer and I didn't have any friends in Aurora, Illinois, and he still worked. Like he didn't get the summer off. So it meant that like this quality time I was supposed to be spending with him, like meant essentially Nintendo and, that Comedy Central and Nickelodeon time.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And watching Repossessed on HBO. Like.
Yeah. No, but I like, when I was about that same age, too old for Nick Jr., but still watching, I was like, Blue's Clues is on while I'm eating my frozen pizza for lunch. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I don't even know what in the world is happening. But
It's like high quality children's entertainment. Ren and Stimpy is real. I need to do a grand rewatch of that show because I just have little indistinct little bitlets that I just remember being really brilliant. But I'm sure there are things that I didn't notice at the time I watched it, and I haven't really revisited it as an adult. But I just when I was a kid, I was like, there's like a board game called Don't Pee on the Electric Fence where like the rules are the title, like you win by not by not playing.
And then
I'm winning it right now.
The devil can tell you whether or not you have pissed, whether or not you've whizzed on the electric fence or not.
Exactly. In that scene, Ren unzips his fur.
Yeah.
And has like a quivering pink mound like under it.
Yeah. I watched that today. I did a little grand tour of my favorite Ren and Stimpy bits before we recorded. I was like, what the, like, okay, so preceding that, Ren describes in slow agonizing detail after his psyche breaks what he's going to do to Stimpy and Sven or whatever his name was. First I'm going to pop your eyeballs out. And then
my favorite parts, so Ren, like that was the money run. But in retrospect, my favorite parts of Ren were like when he would get off work and like we come home and he'd just be like, time to relax, and like he'd put on his little hat and everything like that. Like it's so weird and dumb. And even there were all these little surreal moments that weren't even the shaving yak and like Power Toast Man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So good.
That were just the abusive relationship between the two of them.
Yeah. It is a parable for domestic violence. If you live with somebody, no matter what your relationship is, if you call, if something happens, it's domestic violence. Like I had a roommate once who like was freaking out and I called the cops, and when the cop came, I had to fill out a thing and it was like for domestic violence. And I was like, I'm not dating him. He's my roommate. He's, he's screaming a lot and it's kicking things around. It's freaking me out.
Yeah. Any joke I like would be inclined to make about that would be insensitive because actual domestic violence is such an awful thing.
It is. But when Ren and Stimpy do it, it's cute.
Yeah. When Ren and Stimpy do it, it's okay for a 6-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it would be hard for me to think that like a kid's going to grow up and participate in real domestic violence based on Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, no, they were
like,
they were already predisposed.
Yeah, they were everything good in life. We're not talking about the game at all. So
no, this is what we do. Like, yeah. I feel like since so many of the things that we record about are licensed in pop culture, I am more comfortable talking about the source material than the actual game.
Some games, though, like, we get there and we get right to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But some games, like, lend themselves less to it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Including Ren and Stimpy Space Cadet. Yeah. There's that run of fucking these things. Like, things that direct, you know, like, the Game Boy's, like, third-party licensed property marketing was aimed squarely at me. Because, like, I ended up playing several of those shitty Simpsons games. Mm-hmm. For Game Boy, like the Ninja Turtles ports, like that first one that's fucking terrible. I played a lot of this stuff when it came out on Game Boy, just because I was like the right age for it. Mm-hmm. It just got me, and they're all like awful. It took a really long time for people to learn like how to design for Game Boy.
Yeah,
like third party people. So eventually it happened, but it just took a really long time.
Mm-hmm. I think the worst one that I ever played was like a Tom and Jerry game for Game Boy, which was just you played as Jerry and like Tom showed up occasionally.
Yeah, just I can't imagine that being.
Yeah, no. Like, so somebody's going to go to the website and suggest that, and we're going to reap the whirlwind. I suppose we can't ignore it. That's against the spirit of the rules.
Well, not everything that gets suggested gets done. We've ignored a couple things.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. We have our reasons.
We have our.
I think the company that made this, when I looked at the Wikipedia page for it, doesn't have a Wikipedia entry, which is no.
The game doesn't, but it was published by THQ.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, given that those guys, what happened to those guys?
You know. A storied history. We don't have to tell you.
You know what you did, THQ.
You did. Yeah, but they had a string of these. Like, they were, I feel like they were their generation's THQ.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
THQ was their generation's THQ.
Yeah. Well, they always had like their cash cow was the licensed stuff, and then they did occasionally inspire things like Saints Row or whatever. But
Yeah. It's unfortunate though, because it does damage, you know, like at least damages your perception to me.
What?
Like, well, like when companies do that kind of model, like we're just going to put out 80% shit. Mm-hmm. Because it makes a lot of money. And then, like, how am I supposed to know when you're not putting out shit?
Yeah.
If, like, all you do is put out shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like Ubisoft. Like, Ubisoft would, like, put out Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and then Beyond Good and Evil, and, you know, Splinter Cell, Pandora Tomorrow, whatever. And then they would turn right around and then publish the worst, like, Imagine Babies shit.
Yeah. You know? But the ratio is I think, worse for THQ.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Than it is for, you know, for Ubisoft. Yeah. Yeah. This also makes me think of, like, if you're going to have a game. So I don't know how you would adapt Ren and Stimpy. Like, I almost would want a mini game collection.
Yeah. Yeah. Do like a WarioWare kind of thing.
Yeah. And that you can kind of highlight the humor, because this is one of the worst like adaptations we've played.
Yeah.
So like the Space Madness episode is really funny. Like, mm-hmm. it's a favorite. It's really good. And then it has nothing to do with this. Like, it couldn't be less.
Nothing
remember the scene where, like, Stimpy walked from one room to another in Space Madness? Like, what if that room was, like, 200 times as long? Like, and that's the premise of this game.
And what if there were light bulbs that were trying to kill you?
Yeah, yeah. And then every once in a while, like, oh, here's a log. You know, it's so stupid. It's so shitty. Like,
yeah. So the play in this speaks to what I think was endemic to a bunch of licensed platformers at the time, or, you know, maybe even just any platformer, original or not, which is, will this kill me or not? Well, better try. Oh, yep. It'll kill me.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Do I need to jump on this, or do I need to avoid it?
Yeah.
Well, like, who knows?
Like, you
know,
buttons on the dashboard, or these nondescript blobs on the floor that don't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest, like, actual, you know, if we're going to talk shit about the problems with this as a game, I found was distinguishing the background from foreground.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, there's a part, like, I thought you couldn't beat it, because I got to the end of the fourth stage where there's the gigantic computer in the background. Mm-hmm. And, like, I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but there's a part of the computer that you can jump on. I had no fucking clue. And then eventually, like, I got to the stage after that, and, like, it's really short, and you get past it. And then the stage after that, there's, like, a jump I don't think you can make.
Yeah, yeah. And it has those, like, weird floating toasters or whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the toasters flow out of everything in this game is in slow motion. Like, the gravity is turned off inside the space station. Like, and but I don't think you can make that jump. Like, I thought, like, oh, is this, like, a legendarily broken game where you literally can't
get any further? Dragon's Lair for NES or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Which I also think happens in the next game we're going to do. Like, I had the same experience. Like, I can't get any further. What's going on? Like, I'm save scumming it. I'm doing my best.
Yep. I save scum it too. Like, I couldn't get past the first two screens without save scumming it.
Yeah.
And it's like weirdly similar to a shmup or something like that, where it's entirely about safe areas on the screen, especially when you have eyes that are trying to attack you for some reason that move in a pattern. It's
like, eyeballs and then just a couple of references.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
They have the bathtubs in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the bathtub for that episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what?
Like, I'm just trying to imagine a game that actually does capture what is great about the Space Madness episode. I don't know if you could do it.
No, because there's just, like, one joke to that. Like, it's not, you know, there's nothing to it. Like, it's just like, you know, he's got the Space Madness. He's going to say a bunch of funny shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and be really angry. It's just domestic abuse. Like, just domestic abuse in space.
Man. Like, it's weirdly similar to The Thing, right? Which is like, oh, man, I'm not crazy. He must be crazy.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm going to kill you. And then, like, mentally torture him until he presses the button that implodes the world.
Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. Like, just playing on that paranoia. Like, I'm not saying I want, like, a really deep... You know, like, European PC game. That
I kind of do. Like, I have no mouth and I am a Stimpy, you know?
And there we go. I would play that.
Yeah.
Like, way more than this. Like, this is awful.
Yeah. Like, and it's just like, your duck is useless. And when so much of the game is about avoid, you know, trying to manage your hitbox.
Yeah.
Like, your duck, I think I counted, it was like it only drops you like 7 to 10 pixels, something like that.
Yeah, and there's nothing that you can actually duck.
Yeah,
there's not a thing that you know is heading towards you high enough that you your duck would work. And then when you I found when I got to that computer thing, like one of the perpetual problems with Game Boy games is like no one's ever, because of the resolution, no one's ever figured out where to put the camera.
Yeah,
like no option is correct. There's nowhere to zoom. There's no amount of zoomed in or zoomed out that actually works. So, like, even on good games, like, even when we did, you know, Mario Land 2, like, it felt a little zoomed in, you know. But the this is way too zoomed in. So you're jumping between these platforms, and then something just flies out of the air. And, like, if you're going to make the jump, you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do about it.
And then they also have, like, edge spawning and stuff. So when you have those light bulbs that are flying out of nowhere in patterns specifically designed to intercept your jump, you can't, like, time it and wait. Because the second that you go for it again, it'll spawn and then hit you.
Yep. Yeah. You just have to endure enough to refill your health with more toast.
With
not powdered toast.
No, just toast. The powdered toast is extra lives.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. And did you get the Ren head? There's a Ren head that you can get. I couldn't get to it.
I went to a Ren fair.
I didn't get it. Did I ever tell you about my Renaissance fair?
Do it.
Story? It's not too much of a story, but like it was when I was like a little poor kid growing up, and part of that was that I was filthy because my parents didn't teach me about hygiene and stuff. So I was a little smelly kid, and went with one of my cousins to a Renaissance fair, and one of the Renaissance fair actors had a bit of fun walking around behind me, like holding her nose.
Oh no!
And my uncle and aunt like took a bunch of pictures of it, and it was good time had by all,
except for
little man who didn't like understand what was going on because of his awful home life. But the on the plus side, so and then the two other things I remember, and these are just things I remember that are not necessarily stories, is that there was like a comedy routine there called the Mud Show, which was like two big beer guys who just like rolled around in mud and kind of did comedy called the Mud Show, and we watched that, and I remember thinking it was great.
I'd pay money for that.
Yeah, I remember being pretty good. And then we were watching the joust, and I was tearing grass out of the ground, as you do when you had my upbringing.
Yeah.
And a knight, like a full like knight, walked up to me and was like, "Are you thou king's gardener?" Stop tearing out the grass.
It's like, oh. He was just trying to engage you. How did you react?
I was scared and stopped tearing out the grass.
Because a knight is...
Yeah, because he could stab me.
As far as little kids go, as far as little kids are concerned, knights are the worst.
Like, yeah, he was so big. Like, in my memory, he's like 12 feet tall.
He's the fucking Tower Knight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More or less the Tower Knight.
You were going after his ankles.
Yeah. Also, and this is just like barely related, but we went with my cousin, one of my cousin's friends, and we, on the way back home, if we were going to sit in the back of the car, like comfortably, our knees were going to touch, but I couldn't allow that because I was self-conscious about it. So I held my knee in place in a really uncomfortable position for like an hour and a half and was like super, super uncomfortable and had like these leg cramps from it.
Yeah.
But that was that trip.
Yeah. That was that trip. Yeah, I've never been to a Renaissance fair. I've been to like a prairie fair, we have an event in my hometown called the Prairie Peddler. You know, where they sell various wood.
It's like a serial killer name.
Yeah.
like a proper British serial killer.
Yeah, the prairie peddler is gonna slit your gullet, he will.
No,
but I've never been to a Ren fair. I think because although I enjoy the sight of a woman in a corset, I feel bad that I do.
Yeah.
So
good reason not to go. And they're like comely wenches with, you know, and all kinds of corsetness going on.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun if you, like, I wasn't old enough to drink, but like, let's say I knew somebody who was real into it and it was just like, Gary, like, I got an extra ticket to this thing. Like, come on.
Oh,
I'd be
like,
yeah, let's do it. This is going to be hilarious. Like, drink some meat.
You wouldn't go like full Hunter S. Thompson or whatever, but like to get into the thick of it and just be like, okay, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would go and people would say stuff and it would, like, everything would be funny to me, like, not necessarily in a mean-spirited way, but just like, mm-hmm. Oh, somebody just walked up to me and
read
me in Renaissance language, like, this is hilarious.
Yeah,
I have an appreciation. It's played out now, but people who cosplay as Star Trek, original Star Trek, and go to Renaissance fairs and pretend like they've time traveled to the past.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think that's pretty funny. Like, whoever the first person to do that, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
like, it's a good idea.
Oh man, the only other thing that's similar to that I've been to is like
friends times.
Not my, yes. Oh man, red bread night's going down. But
I'm down.
I love that movie. That's really underrated.
I love that dinner and tournament.
No. There's in my hometown of Mansfield, Ohio, there's a place called Malabar Farm. Louis Bromfield.
Where Malabar's come from?
I think so. Malabar. Sorry, I have a cold. No. Louis Bromfield owned it. He was a prominent author. It's where like Clark Gable got married and stuff like that. They have they have frontier days. And fun fact, most of my family friends, a lot of their grandparents were bankrupted by this guy because he was crazy. Huh. But they have like frontier days where you can go and get a good sarsaparilla.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I haven't been to like an Old West version of that.
Yeah.
But I would do it.
That's not necessarily Old West, but it's, you know, just like a like the 1800s, the fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to a Medieval Times?
No, I have not.
Man, like, I'm telling you, so Kickstarter for next year for Watch Out for Fireballs. We talked about arcades and family fun centers. An episode about Medieval Times would be so fun to fucking do. Yeah. Like, coming to that as an adult and then talking about it for the show would be hilarious.
Yeah. No, but just like to go whole hog into it and to do like the crazy photographs and stuff.
Yeah, we'd have like Facebook pictures for the rest of our life for the show. Like the pic, like us dressed up as kings, like sitting there and doing the, like, it would be great. It would be wonderful. Like, it's kind of too good an idea not to do. It's probably too late for this trip, but like, it's a good
Is
idea.
Is that expensive? Like, it's a Ruby Tuesdays, but with knights, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's not that expensive. It's just like finding the time and then. It's almost doable. I don't know. I'm glad that occurred to me. I don't know if there are where they're at around here, but like, it's a real funny experience. Like the when the first time I went. It was like, I was in my teens, like I was a teen. Mm-hmm. And, several times someone said like, one of the king or whatever announced, like, welcome back to 1994. We're your party like it's 1999. And then, like, at the end, they play, like, modern music, and everyone's just an actor. But, like, it just happens, like, that, like, you know, you're everyone's in character. And then he makes this announcement, and then modern pop music comes up, and you're in a bar with, like, all these failed drama students. Like, it's really incredible. They also, the one in Illinois had a museum of torture. Oh. That was like two rooms that was like amazing. Like, just like, oh my, like, because old timey torture devices, like, that's some heavy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like, just like this, you know, like teenager. And it was like, that was right up my alley. Like,
yeah, it's like, as a teen, awesome. Like, thumb yeah, screws.
Like, just, yeah. but it's so dumb. Like, it's such a dumb thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can get into a dumb thing.
I can totally get into a dumb thing. It's just, it's hilarious. It's great, but it's dumb.
Yeah. Like, oh, man.
And we've said everything about Ren and Stimpy that we can say, but before we wrap up, I want to point out, one, that this game has a bizarrely good reputation on, like, internet review aggregators.
What?
Not like Metacritic. GameFAQs, though, so like GameFAQs, GameFAQs rating 4 out of 4, reader review is 6, game ranking average is 6. The other like game thing I went to is 6. So like a lot of people are calling this a 6 out of 10.
Oh,
which, like,
no.
what would you call, like, what's a game that you've actually played, like a modern game that you'd call a 6 out of 10?
Silent Hill 4: The Room.
Yeah, I would call, like, probably like Rage.
Yeah.
Like a 6 out of 10?
Yeah.
6 or 7 out of 10?
Something that, like, I deem is worth my time, but I recognize there is unfulfilled potential.
Yeah, yeah. And even The Room, like, I've never played The Room, but I assume that there are, like, individual things about The Room that are actually amazing.
Yeah.
Like something like Rage, where it's just like, this is serviceable. Mm-hmm. Like, this passes the time adequately.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, like, people like this thing. Mm-hmm. It's fucking weird.
Are you sure? I mean, one of our previous theories was that this is drug deals happening, right?
I think it's actually for the next game we're doing. yeah, it's for the next one that we're doing, that there's a weird message on the message board. But this one, I don't think it's there's drug deals, because there's no activity on the board. Like, there's 3 reviews, right, from users?
Yeah.
One of them is a 4 out of 10. 2 of them are 7 out of 10s. Like, it's just crazy to me. It's just like, yeah. People like this game. Somebody rated the story of this game a 6 out of 10.
To be honest, like, for as simple and unambitious as it is, like, it, you know, it kind of matches something that maybe would be in a shitty episode of the show.
Well, you know, maybe. No, like, they never did any platforming in the show.
No, they didn't. But, okay, so the little intro cinematic or whatever was appropriate, right? Just kind of like, duh, I gotta press the cut life support button because I can't read because I'm Stimpy.
Yeah.
And then Ren's like, you idiot!
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
Yeah. like, if you lower your standards enough, it's passable.
Like, anything is passable. Like, yeah. It's a good tautology.
Like, Papa John's is passable if you lower your standards enough.
Yeah, exactly. Dipping sauce all day. the guy who, there's one guy who wrote the fact who's like, one, and it's a perfectly serviceable fact. Like, I actually went to it to see how I'd get past that part I'm talking about, which is, you know, I used it. So he wants like donations at the bottom. There's like a donation. thing.
I shouldn't, like, laugh. People do, you know, work, they get
no I it, I yeah. know, but it's weird work. And then you look at his so Gamma Beta Alpha is his name. He's done 94 facts.
Jeez.
And it is like a rogues gallery of shit. Like, there's a couple good things in here, but it's like the Wayne's World game, Ren and Stimpy Vidiots, the Hunt for the Red October game, Small Soldiers,
Blues Brothers.
Like, it's incredible. Like, this guy has just done nonsense after nonsense.
There was a video game based on True Lies.
Yeah, anything Arnold Schwarzenegger did became a video game. Like, I mean, I'm not joking. Like, there's a Last Action Hero game.
Yeah, no, I've played it.
There's a fucking Darkman game too. The Disney's Mulan. You know, it's just incredible. Like, this guy's incredible.
Yeah, no, wow.
And he's still active.
Oh no, so, like most of these are incredibly recent too.
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on with, like, I want to know this guy's story. Somebody needs to do a documentary about this guy.
I mean, bottom feeders are a thing. I mean, okay, bottom feeder sounds like I am casting aspersions on this fellow. Like, I don't think that you're subhuman or whatever, but, like, in an ecosystem, there has to be something that fills that niche that, you know, takes up the stuff that other things, that other organisms cast aside. That's what this guy seems to be in terms of game facts.
He wrote a game fact for a card game for a Game Boy.
Wow.
Which is the table of contents, how to play poker, blackjack. At first I thought he was doing like bounties, but like they're not those kind of games.
No, they're not in high demand at all. So yeah. like when this happens, I get one of those, like, when in a TV show or a movie where they dolly away while they zoom in and it looks like the background is compressing against it. I get one of those, like, my world is collapsing moments where I think, like, there's somebody who's doing this just for us.
Yeah.
Because who else would be looking up these things?
It was helpful. I'll give him that. I should probably donate. Can we talk about just real quick too, just but for due diligence, how fucking grating the music gets?
Oh yeah. So
in this,
I really love the Ren and Stimpy theme song. I think it's great. You know, it's got that awesome like bebop kind of jazz feel. You know. But like in this, it just, it's like this, they use like the drum and bass track and that's it. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And the snare is like, it's at hi-hat pitch. So it's like, you know, it's up there.
It sounds like crackling bacon, except less appetizing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really annoying. And it just loops for your entire life. Like it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's really obnoxious.
Mm.
So
yeah, Amy.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Amy.
Please.
Yeah,
this was Jesus so Christ. Bad.
Yeah, this is really terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure that this will inspire plenty of other people to suggest other Game Boy licensed platformers. But
it does, I mean, it's not like non Game Boy licensed platformers are better.
True.
Like licensed platformers are new to the show.
The weird thing that like occurred to me while I was playing this today was like this is truer to the source material than the Wayne's World one was.
Oh, because like they're actually in an environment from the show.
Yeah. Like, you know, like it's cribbing from the actual thing as opposed to like, oh, there was that one scene where they were in a music store. So you will jump on hi-hats as a platform.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, you know, the fact that Log shows up is kind of a pro for this in terms of shitty licensed platformers.
In a way, like I see it indicative as like just a separate problem.
Yeah, true.
You know, like... Yeah. Like just like soullessly doing something is not necessarily better than just not doing it at all.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm looking at the table of contents for this guy's game fact of Alien versus Predator, the last of his clan for Game Boy.
Okay.
And you know how they always put little tags in so you can search for the table of contents?
Yeah.
So there's basics, walkthrough, donation, /Amazon, contact info, credits. And the five words that make up his table of contents are help, walk, don't cred. wait, no, it's help, walk, don't continue cred.
I wish it was just help, walk, don't continue.
Yeah.
That's dark.
It's like he is being compelled by some otherworldly force to do this. 94 of these things. Facts are not easy to make at all.
No, it takes a special breed even to do, you know, like a good one. Like even, you know, or especially to do a good one, but
Yeah,
it's a special breed
to do one about a good game. Yeah.
Yeah. Like some of those, like, you know, when we like I'll reference these for like Final Fantasy VII or for Fallout or anything like that, and they're just, you know, just the word count is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also, it's interesting too, because like, it's such a thing that's instantly redundant or like there's such diminishing returns. So like you make a fact for Ren and Stimpy Space Cadets, even if I think I could do it better, like 80 to 90% of the information is going to already be contained in yours.
Yeah.
So like some of these games where there are like, you know, seven different facts, like most of those are not justified. Like you can have a preference between them, but I'm not really shopping for facts.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't spend very much time, you know, looking for the best fact. I just like choose whichever one's top rated.
Yeah, whichever one has the star, I go for that.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's by unless it's by Resident Evil, then I go for that one.
Yeah, because that guy's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a weird thing where, like, there's so much wasted effort. You know, like, those Final Fantasy facts, like, Final Fantasy VII, there's probably, you know, 300,000 words that are superfluous now.
Were spilled for no purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I will only go to if the previous one was not clear enough for me. Or not clear enough in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's looking weird.
Yeah.
Especially when you make snowflakes.
So do you want to land this plane?
Yeah, let's land this plane.
Yeah.
Next episode, we're doing Home Alone.
Home Alone for the Super Nintendo. Yep. We've already played it. It is. I don't know. I think we're maybe going to disagree on it.
Yeah. Well, let's find out in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, when you're listening to Abject Suffering.
Yep. From beyond the grave.
Oh!
We're recording in advance.
We always record in advance.
Like, well in advance.
Yeah. Though. No, we can't. They stopped doing live cartoons because it was a terrible strain on the animator's wrists.
True.
If you would like to suggest a game for Abject Suffering, it's duckfeed.tv/abject suffering. There's a little widget on the side that drops into our little machine, and we pay attention to it. And every single episode, we randomize what's going to come up next.
It's true. And dare I say, we could use some more suggestions.
Yes.
So we're after the two we're going to pick after next episode, we're down to six. Yeah. So,
the law of averages says that there are going to be a couple of average games that are right in the middle, and then half of them are going to be good, half of them are going to be bad. We want the bad ones. And there's plenty for you to choose from.
Yes. Yeah. So, again, easily emulatable. And hit up those weird systems.
Yeah.
Like, let's do a TurboGrafx 16 game. Fuck it.
Give me something on the links, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, nobody played those, so that's why nobody's suggesting them. But, like, if you did, if you're a weird kid who owned a Game Gear, like, throw some Game Gear shit at us.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And, good night and good luck.
Yep. Other shows on the network, Amazon, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And Facebook, we're going to try. I personally am going to try and make that more active. So it's facebook.com/abjectsuffering.
I've hit like peak Facebook activity with the ones that we do. But go find us on there and talk to us and we'll talk back.
Yep.
So yep.
Cool. So until next time.
Mm-hmm. If only I had some friends. Umbasa.
'Does Patter Testman say, like, leave it all to me?
He doesn't say. I don't think he. I don't know his catchphrase.
Yeah, he's got a catchphrase. Oh well.
No, sir, don't like it.
fuck it. Outro music.